Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 39th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
In this picture, we see him awaiting his marriage, a union with his bride when she comes to him. In the meantime, Isaac is preparing a place for her. You're going to get this, and I'm going to pull it all together in just a minute. That's what Jesus is doing for us. In John chapter number 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we see a picture here that's taking place in the Old Testament. Isaac and Rebekah, Jesus and us. And Eleazar is that. We see a picture there of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and giving information. Rebekah represents that chaste bride, those who've been saved and faithful to him who is preparing to meet her heavenly bridegroom. I can't wait for that. Matter of fact, we're on our journey to see our bridegroom. And on the way, the Holy Spirit, through his word, tells us all about Jesus, what he's like, and I can't wait. And when we see, it's just like Rebekah, when she saw Isaac, knew who he was. When we see Jesus, we're going to know who he is. Ain't nobody going to say, well, this is Jesus. We're going to know who he is immediately on sight. So it's a wonderful picture there. There are also various ways that Rebekah foreshadows the Christian believer. First of all, we looked at Isaac. Isaac was a picture of Christ. Rebekah is a picture of us as believers in that her marriage was planned a long time before she knew about it. Isn't that interesting? She didn't know about Abraham. She didn't know about Eleazar. She didn't know about, but it was being planned ahead of that. You know, we were saved. God had planned our salvation way before we even knew about it. Ephesians talk about that. Before the foundations of the world was laid, God knew who was going to be saved. He saw in eternity future who would be saved. Matter of fact, Romans 8 talks about that. According to his foreknowledge, he knew ahead of time who would be saved. He knew who would be lost. So we see the picture there that before Rebekah even knew about it, she was going to get married. Interesting. Also, she was to share the glory of his son, Isaac. One day we're going to share the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we're joint heirs with him. Amen. She learned of the son Isaac through his emissary and her paraclete. In other words, she learned about Isaac through Eleazar. How did we learn about Jesus? Through the Holy Spirit. He was the one who pulled us to Christ. He's the one who draws us. He's the one who tells us all about Jesus Christ. And you see the comparison there. She immediately left everything she had to go to the Son, loving him before she saw him, rejoicing with unspeakable joy. She couldn't wait to see her bridegroom. Loving him before she saw him. You know, Peter talked about that, about joy unspeakable. Loving whom we've not yet seen. We've not seen Jesus. Has anybody ever seen Jesus? Don't raise your hand. Okay. One day, remember the old song, face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face, what will it be? Whatever the rest of that song goes. One day we're going to see him face to face, but yet we've not seen him. Yet we believe and we love him, whom having not seen. And again, that was Rebekah. She journeyed through the wilderness to meet him, guided by the servant. And by the way, that's where we are. We're on our journey through this wilderness of life, so to speak, and we're guided by the Holy Spirit. Beautiful picture here in comparison. And then she was loved and finally united together with the Son. And one day we're going to be united with God's Son. And boy, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I'll see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Well, for the next few minutes, I want to share with you about a Jewish wedding. Some of you have heard this, and it's just a good time to share it this morning to those who've never heard. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When he used that term, receive you unto myself, it's that word in the Greek, paralambano. It means to pull to yourself. It's a term of marriage, of endearment. It's the same word, exact same word we find in the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, Joseph finds out that Mary, his wife, is with child, and it's not belong to him. Remember that story? She's going to have a baby, born of a virgin. And in Matthew chapter number 1, the Holy Spirit, an angel appears to him and says, Joseph, fear not. Take unto thee Mary to be your wife. In other words, don't put, he literally was going to divorce her. He was going to put her away. And he said, Mary, don't do that. I mean, Joseph, don't do that. Take Mary. That was the word, paralambano. Take her to be your wife, and you love her and keep her and cherish her. Well, when Jesus told the disciples in John 14 that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that's the word he used, and they knew exactly what that word meant. There was no question. It was a word of not just endearment, but a term that they actually could use in the marriage circles. I just gave you an example of Mary and Joseph using that term. Well, when a Jewish wedding would take place, before a Jewish wedding, typically what would happen, the young man will leave the home of his father. Now, I want you to see the compare. Stay with me and just see the beautiful analogy here, the story of this. He would leave the home of his father, and he would come to the home of the bride that he's chosen for himself. And before they come together, the Lord, that young man who's chosen this lady for his bride, will strike up an agreement with the father of the bride for a price. We call it like a dowry. In Hebrew, the word is mohar, M-O-H-A-R. It's like a dowry. People in foreign countries still do this. They pay a price for their bride to be. The father and the prospective bridegroom will work out a price. How much is my daughter's worth? You've heard this illustration. I got to move quickly through this. Had a fella, one of my preacher boys, who before I got to Kenya, the name was Josephat Mukaya. And he married this lady, beautiful lady. They'd already had a couple of kids, and they'd worked out where he owed the father 10 goats. That was the price of the daughter. 10 goats, Haley. Some of you ladies think you're worth more than 10 goats. Anyway, during the years, he hadn't paid all he was kind of making installment payments, you know what I'm saying? Here a goat, there a goat, everywhere a goat, goat. Well, we went to Lodwar. We started a church there, had him and some other preacher boys. And I'll never forget, he brought a goat. I had an Isuzu Trooper. It wasn't a truck. It was like an SUV. He brought a nasty, stinking goat. I said, Joseph, how are we going to do that? He said, I got to take this home. I said, that thing ain't going in my vehicle. And then he told me the story that the dad was coming to repossess his wife. The dad was going to repossess his wife. He hadn't made the final payments on her.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more great teaching like this. Well, from now, Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.